You know, they don't want to. People are sick of church and religion. They want reality. They want reality. And He's the real thing. Amen. The real deal. He is the truth. He's what's really real. He's who's really real. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to share just a short testimony here. It's going to lead into what I'm going to talk about a little bit today. And I'm just going to let Holy Spirit guide me. And Lord, I just thank You that You are guiding us. If we acknowledge You in all of our ways, You will direct our path. You will make it straight. So in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I ask God that You will guide me now. What I'm about to say. Speak through me, reach through me, touch through me today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I took a pastorate and I came to a church that was limping, literally limping along. It was pretty dead. And when the services were over, traditionally, they were used to just beelining for the door. Nobody stood around, talked, fellowshipped. It was like, boom, a line for the door. They had their time, did their religious thing, and out the door we go. And sometimes, you know, coming into situations like that can be challenging. And but God knows me and my heart, and it's kind of the way He's conditioned me, because I know this is bigger than I am, but I have to rely on God, like all of us do, to be able to accomplish His will. We can't do it in our own power. And so I'm open for a challenge. Quite honestly, I don't like being in a situation where everything is so cookie cutter, predictable, and running just like smooth as a top. And of course, there's no such thing as a church like that, is there? But there's some that get pretty close to having everything dialed in and programmed to the point where, you know, the pastor could be gone. All they have to do is hit a continue button, and the service goes on and the people are not even there. Half of them, they're just looking at their watch and wondering when it's going to be over. When is my obligation for today going to be over? And totally missing the point. It's about His presence. It's about coming together as family to honor and worship our God together, to receive nourishment from the Lord. Amen. Impartation of grace, that we might also pass grace along, that we might as candles light one another. And so, the first thing we needed to do is say, okay, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. And even getting people to pray that haven't really been praying other than, now I lay me down to sleep, or God, we thank You for this food. Amen. To get to a place where they're passionately crying out to God and realizing the seriousness of what we're involved with here. This is a matter of life and death. Souls are in the balance. And you and I have been given the assignment, the commission, to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is bigger than we are. We can't do it through a program. We can't do it by our own willpower. And we can't live on yesterday's bread. We can't live on the past. We can't live out of tradition. We've got to live in the moment with Christ. And what is He and where is He? What is He doing and where is He now? Lord, I just want to follow You. I want to be with You. So we started out with a group of people praying. And then we started a 24-hour thing where we had people sign up called Harvest Watchmen. Does that sound familiar? And we started to pray this way as well. People had designated times, half hour, hour of their day that they said, I'm going to commit to pray during this time. And we had several prayer meetings. We had leadership prayer meeting, and then we had congregational prayer meeting during the week. And the people that were praying and crying out to God began to get God's attention. It didn't happen overnight, but things began to shift in the atmosphere. Heaven began to fill the atmosphere, you know. God began showing up by His Spirit, and the angels of God began to minister as well. And it was the people were we were even hearing angels. We had sometimes sightings of angels in the services, and people were getting all excited because God is in the house. Amen. And whenever God begins to move by His Spirit, I mean, I know that religious spirits get stirred up. People that were comfortable in complacency, you know, that were kind of basking in the bathwater and falling asleep in the light, you know, get a little, sometimes a little bit bothered by that, especially if they really don't want to go with God. If they just want to do their thing and they want to put God in their box and say, to me, God is going to be like this. My Christian experience is going to look like this. Not necessarily, even though they claim to know the Word, they may know the Word, but do we live the Word? We can say, well, yeah, my experience is going to look like this, but does your experience look like this Word right here? That's the question. Am I really living out the Christian walk, the Christian life? Well, we cannot unless we are a people of His presence. And we cannot be a people of His presence without a heart of worship. Amen? Without a heart of prayer. We must pray. If you want power in your life, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to discipline yourself to pray. You're going to have to put aside lesser things so that you may attain greater things. And so what started happening is God started moving. And miracles and signs and wonders and things, good things began to happen. Hallelujah. And boy, it stirred up a bee's nest. Because whenever God shows up, the enemy doesn't like it. Especially if he's, you know what? He leaves people alone that he already has. He says, you're doing just fine, John. And it, no, forgive me, John. Are you here? Okay. I call Johnny. Johnny gets picked on a lot, but Johnny's not here. You're doing just fine. You just continue to do what you've been doing. And everything will be just fine. You're not going to cause me any trouble, says the enemy. You know? You're not going to mess me up at all. You're not going to be a threat to what I've already been doing. But boy, when people start to pray, the enemy gets nervous. Because God's going to invade His kingdom. We're going to begin destroying the works of the devil. And so prayer is always going to be one of His targets in your life, in my life. He wants to take out your prayer life. He wants to distract you away from that closet time with God. That intimacy between you and God. Not just on Sunday, because we have a lot of folks that come, and I'm not picking on anybody here today, I hope. But we just come and we get, you know, hooked up to the IV on Sunday, and we try to go until maybe some people come Wednesday, and if they don't by next Sunday, boy, they're either not here because they're so beat down by the devil, or when they come crawling through the door, and they're saying, hook me back up, hook me back up. How many know that God has already got a line available for you? You don't need somebody else to hook you up, and you're not going to get it off somebody else's anointing. That's going to be short-lived. You need something fresh every day. You need to drink of the water and eat of the manna every day. We need to be prepared. So when we do come together, it's going to be that much more glorious, that much more powerful. And when we come here, we should be in prayer because we need to be preparing ourselves. So God will move according to the measure of our prayer lives. It's a fact. If we do not pray, we're not going to have any power. And what happens is that we have a visitation from the Lord, and it is good and it is fresh, but we try to live out of that past experience. And very quickly, it becomes stale. They were not to hoard the manna in the wilderness. They were to gather daily. Otherwise, it would stink. It stinketh in the tent. How many know that we need as a people to get plugged into God? And it begins with you and I saying, it's not easy. I know as soon as I commit myself to pray that the enemy is going to try everything he can to keep me away from God. He's going to make that the least of my priorities, you know. Because He knows that it is the greatest priority for any person, amen, is their prayer life. It's the greatest priority for our church. And I don't want you to get long on this, but I want you to share, because this is exactly what God is saying. Just a snippet of what He showed you and what He spoke to you, because I believe this is a word from the Lord.
Several weeks ago, the Lord called me away to pray. I know I've been absent, but He said, I need you to come, and I went. And last Wednesday night, I had three angels appear in my house, and they began to strategize and talk about us, this body of people. And one of the things that they were really concerned about was that we had lost our ability to be able to push beyond where we're at, that our temp plagues have been put down in, and what we've done is that we have, and this is their words, you know, do they not realize that they have come into procedure and they've sacrificed the process, and that they have to pray. With praise and worship has a fragrance that touches the heart of God, but it's the desperation of our prayers accompanied with the praise and worship that moves the heart of God and brings down the walls of the cities and brings down the walls of the nations. And that our lack of prayer and our lack of passion for prayer is going to defeat us. And there was a call, and their hearts were concerned about this body of believers, that we need to pray. Without prayer, we can do nothing. It's our dedication to the power of prayer that makes all the difference. You can worship and you can praise Him, but without the commitment of communion every single day, you don't have it all.
All right. Folks, God is calling us, and this confirms what not only myself, but God has also been, He's been moving on different folks. Maybe you're hearing the same thing you've been hearing. How many have realized that we were really moving in the river for a season, but all of a sudden things started to get stagnant, and things began, and the climate began to wane in here, and the level of glory that we were walking in. You see, and it's because this is just the way we're geared. We have to guard ourselves against this, but we get comfortable in what's going on, and we forget that we need to be moving on with God. He's moving us from glory to glory. There's a time to camp, but there's a time to move. And we need to stay in the freshness of what God is doing daily, so that we're going to be aware of where He's at and what He's doing, and that we're going to constantly be stretching and growing and going on into greater depths, amen, and higher heights. I'm praying, God, bring me up to higher realms, amen, a higher plane, as the old hymn says, than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I don't want to get comfortable where I've been. I want to stay with You. I want to walk with You. God has called this body of believers to be boots on the ground. Amen. We are called, that is one of our assignments, to be evangelists, to be actively engaging in soul winning. And we cannot do that unless we are people of prayer first. We cannot defeat the enemy in our own lives. We cannot defeat the weaknesses of our lives unless we are in prayer. Unless we abide in Him and He abides in us, His Word abides in us, then we can do nothing. And so I'm encouraged, because I know, and I'm not saying this to flatter, but I know the hearts of the people that are here. God has drawn you here today. And I think I'm getting to know just about everybody here. But you know, you can just kind of sense in the Spirit when you meet God's people. And where they're at, people that are hungry for Him, people who don't want to play church, but they want the reality, they want the real thing, and that's who you are. You are a people that love His presence, and because of that, God encourages us with these things. These are not meant to make you feel bad, to beat you down. It's to remind us of where we were and where we are. And not just to go back to where we were in the sense that we can't go backwards, but to get back in, if you will, the river or the flow of the Spirit again. Get back with Jesus. Start walking again closely, daily, with the Lord. And as you do that, as you begin the discipline of praying, maybe if it's just a short time every day, but start saying at this time, you know, and start practicing through your day, walking in communion with the Lord. Don't just wait until some special time. And so little by little, as we develop in prayer, okay, what's going to happen is your passion is going to begin to rise. You're going to start becoming more passionate. You're going to start loving and enjoying. How many know that prayer is not supposed to be something like a prayer meeting? It's like prayer meeting. We're meeting here Friday at 6:00. Hope you can come because I want to tell you that we're having a good time. We're having a good time. Because prayer meeting, because God is not boring. One of the big lies of the enemy is he tells people God is boring. Church is boring. Well, church is boring if you're not connected with God. If you're just watching other people act out. Kidding. If you're just watching somebody else swing from a chandelier, yeah. Rolling on the floor. And we haven't had any of that yet, but if I feel led. We're going to move on here. Miles Monroe said this. Prayer is not just an activity, a ritual, or an obligation. See, that's what in many times in our minds we're just thinking, it's just, why do we go to prayer meeting? Well, because we have prayer meeting on Friday night at 6. It's just like a thing that we do. Or just an activity, another activity night, you know, go to prayer meeting. But again, it is about communication with God. That's what prayer is about. And Miles Monroe said, it's communion and communication that touches God's heart. We, listen, have been given a privilege of prayer because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. There are many people who pray all over the world. They pray to different gods. They pray to idols. They pray to, you know, to who knows what. They pray to trees. They pray to rocks. And there are people who are even praying to God, the living God, and yet those who have the right or the authority to pray are only those who have come through Calvary, who have come by way of covenant, by the way of the blood of Jesus Christ, those who have been born again. And the Spirit of Christ dwells in them. They have been given that authority now to pray, to intercede on behalf of others, to offer general prayers of all kinds, of all manner. But those who have been born of the Spirit and who have the Spirit of Christ have been given the authority. We've been authorized now to do to what? Enter into a priestly office. Amen? As we represent God to the people to the God, to God. And so it's very important that we understand that if we want to go on and we want to see even the greater measure of God's grace, we want to see greater things than these that we have already seen, and we rejoice in what God has done. We rejoice. We've had many, many healings, you know. We rejoice in that. But there's some things that we need to see God move in more powerful ways, because there's a lot of folks that need a miracle right now. Not only here, but out there. And so we've got to really stay connected, and we've got to pray for the move of God to increase. It's the measure that you offer. It comes up before God as an incense. It's collected and it's presented to the Father. He inhales that as a sweet fragrance. He exhales His presence. And so praise is actually also a form of prayer. As we give praise, but sometimes we're also petitioning God. We can pray. During music is also very helpful sometimes in prayer. It helps me sometimes just to, to get on my guitar and play and tune. And it kind of helps me to pray. But the most important way to pray, and I think one of the most blessed ways to pray, is to pray in the Holy Spirit. That's praying in the Spirit. And that is in the heavenly language that God gives His children. If you're born again, if Christ is in you, God has something in you that He wants to release through you. And it's called a prayer language. And you will speak in tongues of men, tongues of angels. But the Spirit agrees with the Father. Amen? There's an agreement with the Trinity there as to the will of God. What is the will of God? The Lord knows what we have need of even before we ask. And we don't always know how to pray like we ought to. So the Spirit helps our infirmities. Now, let me just say this. If you haven't prayed in the Spirit, this is not something that means that you're less than, okay, the guy or lady who does. What it means is that God wants to release something in you and through you. And there are those who have had the taste of this, but because of bad theology or because they've been put under condemnation about this, they have shut themselves down, or because the enemy came up right away and said, that wasn't of God, that was of the devil. And so fear shuts us down. There are many things in me that God wants to bring out that hasn't happened yet. I'll admit that. But the same thing is true with all of us. So we're all in a different place in our walk. The Lord loves you just as much, amen, as He does me. He loves us all because we're His kids. But there are things that God wants to release in us that you don't have to fret over. You don't have to stress over. You just need to say, thank you, Lord. By faith, I'm going to receive this, because if you want to give it to me, then I want it. I've heard people say, well, that's the least of the gifts. It's like, it's from God. Come on. Are you belittling something that God wants to give to His church? It's important. If it's from God, how many know it's important? And don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil beat you down and say you're a second-class citizen. You see, that's what's happened in traditional Pentecost, isn't it? We've made people feel guilty because they haven't prayed in tongues. All I'm saying is that there's more for you. God wants to give you more. So don't ever get complacent. Don't ever get to the place where you say, well, I'm satisfied with what I got. I've seen some pretty dead tongue-talking Christians. Because they're living out of a past thing that's long been gone. Well, I remember 50 years ago in that prayer meeting. And now they're just caught up in gossip and, you know, and negativity, and they're disgruntled and they're bitter, and, you know, it's like, I'm sorry, but I don't want what you have, if that's what it looks like. When you're walking in the Spirit, when you're in the river of God, there's going to be a freshness. There's going to be joy in the Holy Spirit. There's going to be peace, amen? There's going to be confidence in God. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. I think, and I mentioned this before, that for all of us, to some degree, our concept of prayer has been influenced by the effects of the fall. When Adam fell, three things happened. Number one is there was a felt isolation from God. He felt isolated now, distant. He lost his clothing. He hid. And then, number two, there was an uncertainty of where he stood with God. Anybody ever felt that way? Third, there was a loss of a sense of purpose. Now, how many would agree that there are just all kinds of folks, and maybe you're one of them today, I don't know, that are kind of living in that place where, what is my purpose? Groping around in the dark for my purpose. Looking for love in all the wrong places, you know? Looking for a sense of purpose. I try this, I try that. And some people, they get so frustrated with trying to find their purpose in life that they end up taking their life. Because life is meaningless. Life is empty. It's vain without the sense of purpose that God gives us, the revelation of His purpose for us. If you do not know your purpose, then you will end up wasting your life. How many would agree that the Father wants to reveal to you today your purpose? And you're going to get that revelation through communication in prayer. And it may mean that you're going to have to go the extra mile. You're going to have to take a little time out because the Father is looking for those who mean business. He's looking for those who are serious about this. He's looking for those who don't just tell God, God, I'll do whatever you want, but deep down inside you're saying, accept. How many know it's that those exceptions that keep you bound up in the world? I'll give you everything you ask me to give you, Lord, except. And it's that exception. It's the compromises that keep you tethered into bondage. God wants you to be set free. Finally, I surrender. Surrender is where you find life. Totally surrendering to Christ. Saying, Lord, I give you my plans. I give you my dreams. I give you my future. I give you my past. Thank God I don't have to be plagued, but I don't have to let the past dictate my future. My past is under the blood of Jesus. And when you're reminded about the past, just thank Jesus that it's under the blood. And now, because of the blood, I can come confidently to my Father's throne. As a son, as a daughter. And I can receive grace. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Are you there? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, through whom also we have access by works. What does it say? Faith. I believe that Jesus has already accomplished, amen, the will of God for me when it has to do with redemption. That my sins are under the blood. And faith in what Jesus has accomplished for me gives me confidence in approaching my Father. I don't have to approach Him in fear in the sense that I'm afraid of Him, but I always will remember to honor and respect my Father. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace. That's that what God does, not what we do. That's that divine influence on the heart and its reflection in our lives. It's that unmerited favor from God. That even though we were worthy of death, God in His great mercy, amen, reconciled us to God through Jesus Christ. In faith in what God has accomplished at Calvary, what Christ has done for us, I can come confidently and I can call Him Daddy. I can call Him Father. He's my Father. And I know my Father loves me. In which we stand. And then we, by faith, because of this awareness, this revelation of the love my Father has for me and my standing with Him in Christ, I can rejoice in the glory of God. I can rejoice then. To whom much is forgiven, the same loves much. Our revelation of what God has done for us, amen, is as dirty and defiled as we were, Christ in mercy saved us, washed us. My revelation of that truth can change my life because, hallelujah, that means God's not mad at me anymore. His anger's been satisfied at Calvary. So come confidently to the throne of grace. Come boldly. Jesus is the one who restored our rights to dominion and prayer. Adam was given dominion over the earth. He failed in his assignment. Christ lived a sinless life in the place of sinful man, yet without sin, overcame the world, took our sins to the grave at Calvary, rose again on the third day for our justification, is at the right hand of the Father who ever lives to pray on our behalf. Jesus has already in Christ given us the privilege, and it is a privilege, and a right, the authority to pray, to petition the Father. Satan is fully aware of this. And he knows that it's a threat to his kingdom. So he's going to do everything he can because he knows he can't stop you from praying. Come on. But he can try all manner of distraction in your life. Interferences. As soon as you go to pray, the phone rings, you know? Well, let it ring. If I'm delayed in calling you back, sometimes it's because I'm praying, and I'm not going to let that happen. We've got to be careful because, again, when we disconnect and our prayer life is not strong, neither will we be strong, and neither will you have victory over your sin nature. How many realize that when you stop praying, and you're not praying every day like you're supposed to be, you're not walking in that place with God, that all of a sudden that sin nature starts to get a lot stronger. That other part of you that you don't like gets stronger. Amen? For some people it means, you know, a lack of patience and tempers start to flare and you start getting grumpy and, you know, and of course nobody here has ever done that before, but that old nature, I hate, man. I hate it. And the only way to crucify it is to worship. Prayer is a form of worship. It's communion with God. It's showing His worthiness. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:12 says, "We have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." We have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Now, I looked up the New Living Translation, and I like this. I want you to hear it. If maybe some of you have this. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come fearlessly into God's presence, assured of His glad welcome. Fearlessly into God's presence, assured of His glad welcome. How many know the Lord, the Father's just waiting to hear from us? There you are, where have you been? I've had so much that I've wanted to share with you. There's so much that I wanted to be able to even download into your life that you're missing out on because you didn't come to me and you tied my hands. How many know that God just doesn't do everything for you? There has to be an agreement with heaven. We have to come into agreement with Him and say, "Father, here I am. I want to come into agreement with You. What would You have me to do? What would You like to show me? What would You like to reveal to me? Because I want to be in agreement with You. I want to know Your thoughts. I want to know what You're doing. I want to be with You where You are." How many remember me? Hopefully you had a relationship like that. You wanted to be with your dad, you know? And it's kind of like the puppy dog, you know? Ever had a puppy dog follow you around? "Now go home, go home." He's not going home. He said, "No, I'm going with You." The Father doesn't push you away. And He wants us to be with Him. Jesus said, "He who comes to Me, I will in no wise cast out." Do you know that He hears your thoughts? He hears your thoughts right now, what you're thinking inside. Do you know that some of those thoughts you're getting right now is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? See, the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of us today and saying, "I want you to take heed. Because I want to share some things with you. And I want you to share your heart with Me. Pour out your heart to Me." God wants to hear from us. He wants to know what you... He knows what you're going through, but He wants you to talk to Him. Because He wants to show up in your life. He wants to miraculously show up in your life. He wants to demonstrate His goodness in your life. He wants to put His favor upon your life. And He can't do that, folks, if we won't talk to Him. If we won't spend time with Him. If we won't get into His presence and listen to His voice. Because unless we get an instruction, unless we hear His voice, we're not going to know what to do next. And sometimes life is just going to deal you a hand that you have nothing, there's nothing in your power that you can do about it. And God is saying, it's because I'm going to intervene. I'm the one that's going to do it for you. And I'm going to demonstrate My great love for you in this. And when you know that I have intervened, you will know that it wasn't you, it wasn't man, but it was Me that did it. Because I want you to know how much I love you. When the prodigal son came to himself, he was in a hog pen of life, and he realized just how much of a mess he had made of things, because he, of his own choice, of his own free will, he left the Father. The Father didn't try to stop him. He won't violate your will. He's going to wait for you to say yes and to cooperate with Him. He's not going to make you do anything. And finally he came to himself and he said, "I have been missing out on so much. Why? Am I living like this? And in My Father's house there is plenty." And when he came back, he didn't say, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Welcome home, son." Do you know Christians can be just like that prodigal too? Because we're not in communion with our Father. And it breaks His heart. I'm calling us, I'm challenging us today as a church to return to the closet, amen, of prayer, and to pray passionately and every day walk with God, and God's going to reveal Himself. And as He begins to download the revelation of Himself to you, He's also going to be, with that, He's going to be giving you assignments. He's going to be giving you revelation of who you are and what your calling, what your purpose is in this world. And when you begin to receive an idea and a knowledge of the purpose of God for your life in this world, you can get excited about living. Because now I know why I'm here. And ultimately, I'm here to serve my God. Bring glory to Him. Hallelujah. Shoo. To walk with my Lord. Well, Jesus was the one qualified to bring us into position because He came as a man. And so He was qualified as a representative of earthly authority. And that is, of course, through His sacrifice. And his sinless life. You see, God wants to affect things on the earth. He wants to change things here, folks. He wants to change things in your family, in your own life, but He wants to change things in this city. He wants to change things in this world. And God has given this key to you. And me. And it's called prayer. And when you pray, pray, "Our Father who is in heaven." Who are we praying to? The Father in heaven. That God. Not a rock, not a stone, right? Not hallowed, holy, righteous is your name. Perfect is your name. Then we are to pray. What? His kingdom come. We do that a lot. How many know that it's not going to come until you and I come into agreement with heaven? We come into agreement with the Father God and we call that which is invisible into the visible. We want miracles. We want healings. Amen. You want to see signs? Well, you got to pray. And why do we want signs? Just go and say, hey, look at this. Check it out. No. So that people will look and see that our God is alive. That He's real. And no one can take away your testimony. We all have a testimony. Just about probably everybody here has been touched supernaturally by God. And He wants to do more for you. He wants to do more through you too. And you ain't going to have anything to give unless you're going and getting supplied from the resource, the eternal resource, amen, of His treasure house. He says, come to me. We pray for the kingdom to come and the will of God to be done. Do you realize, folks, that we are playing a part in the return of Christ? That's why Jesus says, if my people or disciples don't praise me, then what? The rocks themselves will cry out. All of creation is groaning. All of creation is in travail right now. Waiting for the day, the manifestation. The revealing of Jesus Christ and His sons, His daughters. When we say sons, it means daughters too. So we need to cry out, Father, let Your kingdom come. We want to see on the earth Your glory. We want to see Your glory. I pray that this would just not be another message. That was a nice message, but it would be a time of commitment today. We say, I see it. I understand it. I have a privilege to come to my Father's. How many know there is no ecstasy? There is no joy. There is no joy like the joy of the Lord. There is no place like the place that He's allowed us to come freely to, into His throne of grace. A throne room of grace. There is no pleasure like the pleasure of the Lord. So the enemy wants to distract you with lesser things. He wants to deter you away from praying. He wants you to start looking at lesser things and start filling up with lesser things and things that often lead to destruction. To keep you away from communion with God, because when you commune with God, His kingdom comes and His will is done through you. And the day is coming when Jesus is going to return and He's going to call His bride. She who has prepared herself, she who has kept herself as a virgin, she has not prostituted herself, given herself away to all these other gods and worshiped the world. But they have worshiped. They have followed the Lamb wherever He goes. So let His kingdom come and His will be done in your life. How does that happen? Well, I'm just waiting around for the angel to stir the water. You know? How many know that God's already given us the key? He says, what's that in your hand, Moses? It's a rod. Well, that was a key to miracles. What are you doing with it? Well, cast it down. Okay. But He's given us the key to unlock the treasure house of heaven by simply coming before the Father, amen, and petitioning Him for His kingdom to come and His will to be done, because He wants to show up. He wants to reveal Himself. He wants to manifest Himself in the earth. And He's doing that through you. He's doing it through you. He's going to do it through us. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I love God and I love the things of God. There is no excitement than I used to be a party animal, you know. But man, I tell you what, there is no party like a party in the Holy Spirit. Woo! There's plenty of wine to go around. You need a little bit more before you go out? Here, have a little bit more. Come on, when you get a good dose of Him, it's like you're full of the love of God. And you just, woo, you just go out, and it's like, well, I got to go witness today. No. It's like, have you heard about Jesus? You know? Prayer meeting? Oh, where? Like that dog. Where? If the devil can convince you that God is boring, that prayer meeting is going to be mundane, it's going to be kind of like a stagnant... I've been in some prayer meetings where it was like, you know, I'm like, come on! Put the filibrate, what are those things called on them? Give him a charge. Lord, mess him up. We need to take the initiative in prayer. We cannot be passive. Passive Christians are dead Christians. There's an action that's required. Faith is always action. It means I'm going to seek the Lord. Well, I don't feel like it doesn't matter. I'm taking a step of faith. And I'm going to change my attitude because I know that when I seek the Lord, He's good. And all He has for me is good. How many know that He doesn't have evil for you? He's not there to dish out evil. He's there to dish out good. How many feel that stirring up inside you today? Yeah, I want to pray more now. I'm getting it. I know that my Father's good. And we've tasted and we've seen, haven't we? But we cannot live on yesterday's experience. Folks, I want to encourage you to discipline yourself to daily pray. And start out just whatever you can do just to begin to worship God. I usually start out with just praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And before you know it, the juices begin to flow. The Holy Spirit begins, the river of God begins to flow. And then all of a sudden you just kind of go off into the ecstasy of His presence, and it begins, oh yeah, thank you, Jesus. Do you know that we were created for pleasure? Is it not God who made us to be people that desire pleasure? We've got this thing twisted around. That somehow it's like in church, we're bored and we're, you know, disgruntled and we're not happy and we're... And but boy, the world sure looks good. Look at they're having a party. Somehow that thing has gotten twisted around. God created man with a desire for pleasure. The problem is we're looking for pleasure in the wrong place. If you really want to know what pleasure is, beyond anything this world could ever give you, go deeper into God. Go into the river of His grace. Woo! That's why we go the extra mile. That's why we're up here and we're singing, we're praising, we're crying out to Jesus because He gets sweeter and sweeter. Because we just want more of Him. Because we know we can't do it without Him. We just can't make it. These times of meeting are important. Our worship times are important. But folks, we've got to be a people that have developed a personal walk of prayer. Daily. In the Word of God and in prayer. And you'll find that the juices will begin to flow in your life of His grace. The river of God's provision of His grace will begin to flow out of your life. And the problem is that we're trying to live off last Sunday or last year. We get into a move that was happening last, and we're trying to live off last year now. No. Thank God for everything that He's done. I am so thankful for what the Lord has done. Never forget to be thankful. But what we also want to do is keep our antennas up and say, Lord, I want to stay in the right frequency here. Where are You now? What are You doing now? I want to be in the new move. I want to be in the fresh oil. I want the new wine. I don't want to be an old dried up, you know, wineskin that can't receive anything because I'm so stuck in what used to be. Well, we've done this for 50 years here. What's this shouting stuff. Well, there's even people that think if you're not shouting, you're not spiritual either. But I do know this, that when God touches me sometimes, I just got to shout. He is so exciting. So don't let the devil lie to you and say God is boring. Or that prayer is some kind of, you know, drudgery. Because prayer is our communication with God. And when you're communicating with God, you are experiencing pure ecstasy, pure joy. There is nothing that this world can compare. Amen. And so it's a matter of getting past the thoughts, and I'm almost done, getting past the voice of the enemy who says, oh, so you're going to go pray. Don't you remember you had to do that? He'll send a demon out after somebody else to call you at that time. They may not be a bad person. They may not even realize it. But how many know that that's just how threatened the enemy is by prayer? If we're going to have effectiveness, if you're going to have power in your life, if you're going to have victory over your sin nature, if you want to be free and free indeed and be walking in joy in the Holy Spirit, you've got to pray. Would you stand? God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah.